Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, especially John 8, verse 58. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Many years ago, someone asked the author C.S. Lewis, they asked, "How is it possible for God to hear and tend to every prayer addressed to him? After all, there are millions every minute." His response was, "Eternity. God is not bound to time as we are, having to take care of everything that comes along in the brief span of moments or hours that it is necessary to do it and keep moving on. He has an entire eternity to devote to each concern that comes along." And Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." This was part of a dispute about the claims of Jesus. I want you to listen to some of the claims in this chapter leading up to that verse. Back in verse 51, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." Verses 54 and 55. "It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, he is our God, but you have not known him. I know him, and I keep his word." And then in verse 56, you heard this. "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." And finally, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." These are the words and claims of Jesus, and the words and claims of Jesus drive everything for us as Christians. Some of the parts of what he is claiming are, he has the power to speak words that give eternal life. He knows the Father intimately, being of one substance with the Father, sharing in being God. He is the one hoped for and waited for through the whole history of the world. And he is the great I am. And that is Jesus' claim to be God, using the words of the Old Testament name of God, and it was not missed by those around him. But notice in the words, "Before Abraham was, I am." This is not your normal syntax. It's not how the words are expected to flow either in English or in the languages of the Bible. Jesus changes the language in order to speak the truth of who he is. You might expect, "Before Abraham was, I exist." Dead, or "Before Abraham was, I was." But no. "Before Abraham was, I am." Years ago, a pastor's wife shared this illustration with me, and I like it, and okay, yes, I'm going to adapt it just a little bit. She said, "Think about an inchworm crawling along a tree branch. The inchworm knows only one dimension, the length of the tree branch. And it goes along, that's all it sees. Now, as you watch it, you are looking, so to speak, looking on from above. You see where it is going. You may guess where it was moments ago. You might know the destination because you see from above. But again, your vision is also limited by time. God sees differently. He not only sees from above, seeing the whole journey, he also sees the entire journey all at the same time. The beginning, the moving along, and the inchworm being at the end of the journey, and it is all in the eternal present to God. And she said, this is how God sees my life. Not only where I began, not only today, he sees me at the end when I have come into that eternal destination, into eternal life. Right now, he sees all of that. And that is part of what Jesus is talking about when he says, before Abraham was, I am. In practical terms, why is this so important? Let me spell it out. Jesus is eternal. I am not. There is a limit to my body and the ability to keep on living, and when that is at an end, I would be too. Sin has done this to me. And that is exactly why Jesus came into this world. He came to carry the consequence of my sin and to bring eternity. But if I am connected to the eternal Son of God, if he is with me, if he has spoken the eternal name over me, and if he has put a little bit of I am, that is himself, into my soul, then I have eternity. Or rather, look at it from the opposite viewpoint. See, the eternal I am, he has me. He holds on to me. He has my back. He is guarding and keeping me through all kinds of dangers, things I would never know about, and through uncertainties and confusion I could never sort out. Those dangers and those uncertainties, they are a result of sin also. And yet Jesus is there. Jesus, the Savior, is with me through it all. And in fact, he has known about all of these things from eternity. He sees them from before the creation of the world, from before the first dust of the earth. And he has made provision and preparation for them long since. See, I will never know about all of these things. It would take all of eternity for me to even know a tiny part of what God has been doing all along. But I can hear him letting me know that he has it all handled. This is part of why Jesus says, therefore, do not worry. You see, it is one thing to have a pastor say that God loves you and God watches over you and God forgives you, or even to have an angel appear from heaven and tell you that God is watching over you. It is completely different to hear Jesus say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so Jesus sets down his claims. Claims to be the I am, claims to be watching over us, claims to know all that is necessary for our salvation. But those claims needed to be tested. Those around him, the last verse of our gospel lesson, those around him, they decided to test his claims by picking up stones to stone him. And in one sense, it is a fair test for someone who claims to be God to see if he's able to rise from the dead. Jesus goes through that test. And he rose. And interestingly, it is exactly for those who were trying to stone him to death that day that Jesus bled and died, carrying their sins. See, it's not just words. Jesus backed them up. He sealed the promises of sin forgiven with his cross, his blood, and his dying. He sealed the promises of eternal life by swallowing up death and by rising on the third day. He is the one who has life in himself, because together with the Father and the Holy Spirit, he is the I Am. We are dust and ashes, but we are dust and ashes who are connected with the eternal. We will one day breathe our last. We will close our eyes in death, and we will be laid in the grave. But for all those who have known Jesus as their Lord and Savior, Jesus will call them into eternal life right then. And then one day, he will return. And he will call us out of our graves and transform these lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. As Paul says, by the power that enables him to subdue all things to himself. I need this eternal Son of God with the eternal name in this world of so many changes. And he has made himself mine, and he has made himself yours. In Jesus' name, amen.